Greetings, friends. This is J.C. Yoakum extending a warm welcome to another hymn time. Although most of our hymns were written by men, the first one today was written by a woman. Anne Steele was born in the year of 1717 in Broughton, England. Her family history can be traced through the Particular Baptists as far back as 1640. Several of her ancestors were Particular Baptist ministers, who lived through severe persecution, including imprisonment, for their beliefs as nonconformists. Anne Steele's father, William Steele, was a Particular Baptist minister, and her mother, the former Anne Froude, was the daughter of a Particular Baptist minister. Her mother died, leaving Anne, age 3, and a brother, age 6. 3 years later, her father married Anne Goddard, who brought up his children. At the age of 14, Anne Steele joined the church, which her father was pastor. When she was 18, she was thrown from a horse and suffered an injured hip, which left her crippled for the rest of her life, very often being confined to her bed. At the age of 20, Anne Steele became engaged to a young man by the name of Elscourt, but they were never married. He was drowned while swimming in the River Avon the day before they were to have been married. This event cast a shadow over her whole life. She never married, but lived on with her parents. Anne Steele wrote her hymns prior to 1760, at which time they were first published in 2 leather-bound volumes. Since her death in 1778, they have been republished several times. She had a life of much pain and sorrow, but her hymns reveal how this pathway of affliction was sanctified to her, and how she learned obedience and patience to endure to the end. Her hymns have a richness of experience grounded on her felt need of God, and a letter to her father at the time of the first publication of her hymn, she wrote, and I quote, "If after my death my thoughts are of any real benefit to the servants of my God, be the praise ascribed to the Almighty Giver of all grace," unquote. A good example of the quality of her poems is the following hymn, "Redeeming Love."
Who are redeemed for your sake, always the same. Shall be till I die.
Pittman was born in Edgecombe, North Carolina, August the 20th of 1870. His parents, R.E. and Sarah Pitt Pittman, were of English descent. He was the second child of a family of 10 children and was raised on a farm with the usual advantages of a common school education. In youth, he possessed a thirst for knowledge and an ambition to attain positions of honor and usefulness. His father, being limited in a financial way, could not, at the time, give him a business or a collegiate education, but it did willingly permit him to leave home for the purpose of obtaining an education at his own expense. Feeling that where there's a will, there's a way, he left his father's farm at the age of 17 years, entered school at Whitaker's Academy, where he, in addition to the ordinary courses, continued his study of telegraphy, begun while on the farm, and the following year entered business as railroad agent and telegraph operator. About the time he was 21 years old, he took up the study of law, but soon became disinterested in law and greatly interested in religion, so much so that he could not rest with a clear conscience until he had joined the church. He united with the Hopeland Primitive Baptist Church in North Carolina on December 31st of 1892 and was baptized amid ice and snow the following day. In 1893, he was given a year's leave of absence by his employers, which time he spent at the University of North Carolina. In 1900, R.H. Pittman was ordained as a gospel minister and labored faithfully in that calling until his death in early of 1941. The following is a tribute to Elder Pittman written by a fellow minister. I quote, "In the passing of Elder R.H. Pittman, his family has lost a kind husband and father, Page County, a true Southern gentleman, and the Primitive Baptist cause a prince in Israel. He was characteristically humble in his deportment, was far above the average in morals, was an excellent advisor, a good pastor, and an able defender of the faith. He studied to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He traveled extensively, was widely known, and made friends wherever he went." Unquote. The following hymn was written by Elder R.H. Pittman and is surely the testimony of a dedicated Christian. The title is, "The Lord Has Been So Good to Me."
Amen.
The composer of our next hymn was Anna L. Waring. She was born in Plaistowelly in Neath, Glamorganshire, South Wales, the daughter of Elijah Waring. She was brought up in the Society of Friends. However, she abandoned her Quaker background, joined the Church of England, and was baptized in 1842. Her first hymn book, which was published in 1850, contained 19 selections and was enlarged to 39 hymns in the 10th edition. Anna L. Waring wrote her heart into her hymns, but the particulars of her life are not known. This is due to the fact that she was extremely shy and sensitive of publicity. During her last years, she lived at Clifton near Bristol, England, and spent much of her time visiting prisoners in the jails. Considered to be the greatest hymn writer by Anna L. Waring is the following, In Heavenly Love Abiding.
In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear, and faith is not confiding, for nothing changes here.
He will walk my banner and
Frances R. Havergal was always frail and delicate of health. To compensate for her inability to attend school regularly, her father encouraged her to travel. She was born December 14, 1836 at Astley, Worcestershire, England, where her father was rector for 20 years. She was the youngest child of W.H. Havergal, known widely as minister, hymn writer, and musician. At 3 years of age, she could read, and at 7, she wrote verses. She had an active, buoyant temperament, which she said enabled her to skim any waves when she was not under them. Although unable to attend school regularly, Miss Havergal enjoyed exceptional advantages of culture and travel. In the midst of it all, her Christianity became her predominant characteristic, and her piety was as attractive as it was profound. She mastered languages with great ease. French, German, Italian, Latin, Greek, and Hebrew were among her acquirements. She even learned enough Welsh to take part in the Welsh church services. Her Bible, which was noted and underlined, was one of the best of proof that she applied herself earnestly to the noblest themes. Miss Havergal was also finely musical, a performer, vocalist, and composer. She had deep trials and experiences, both of mental and physical pain, which mellowed and enriched her character. She contributed frequently to religious periodicals, and her little books of hymns and verses are treasured now all over England and America. Perhaps the keynote of her writings is her own expression, that thy will be done is not a sigh, but only a song. One of Miss Havergal's hymns, still popular today, is the following. I gave my life for thee.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my days, my life, what hast thou done for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou done for me?
James Alvin Munsees was born in Davidson County, North Carolina, August 31st, 1883, and died in Macon, Georgia, September the 7th, 1971, at the age of 88. He united with Pine Primitive Baptist Church, Davidson County, North Carolina, and was baptized November 7th, 1903. He was soon licensed to preach and was ordained to the ministry in November of 1904. From that time, Elder Munsees served numerous churches and traveled extensively from coast to coast, being graciously received by churches and sustained by the grace of Almighty God, giving his best efforts to the cause of Christ on earth. He remained true to the principles upon which he was ordained until his death. Make his tenure as an ordained minister 66 years and 10 months. Elder Munsees was a lover of church hymns and labored with two other ministers in publishing the old school hymnal. He later acquired sole ownership of the book, enlarged it, and advertised until it gained wide acceptance and use. He began to realize as he grew older that soon younger hands must carry on the hymnal publishing work, so a corporation was formed and a new and larger edition was issued. Elder Munsees remained as chairman of the corporation until his death. He was a graduate of Mercer University Law School, but practiced law only a few years thereafter, devoting his time to the ministry and publishing the old school hymnal. Several hymns by Elder Munsees appear in the old school hymnal, one of which is the following, In Our Journey Here Below.
In our journey below, there are times that we know that our names have been placed in God's school. And to follow his lead, here will help you to read. So far through all his pages we look, here we hope through his face, we shall look on his face, when the burdens of life are laid down our love, then to rise with the blessed to our glorious bed.
Been listening to Hymn Time. Your narrator has been J.C. Yocum. This program is edited, compiled, and originates in Cuthbert, Georgia. We invite you to tune in again next week at this same time. Until then, may God be with you.